This is Ernie Zaslav, Mask as a Gateway to the Self, October 19th, 1991.
October 19th, 1991. Ernie Zaslav, Mask as a Gateway to the Self.
What I am able to do is that it's a group experience. It's not an individual experience. It's a private and personal journey, but you do it in front of people. And you do it to everybody because of the vulnerability that is required. You are stripped of all your armor. If you choose to be. So what happens when that mask, when the neutral mask, and this is a key element, all the grotesque mask, that's fun and all that kind of thing, that's at a very advanced stage. Oh, great. That because of, and when I'm talking about those people that weren't here, I'll just get out some. Here's one. One of the neutral masks that we talked about that I showed. I didn't demonstrate this one, but. This is another version of it, and don't let me forget to tell you how these masks evolved, and how they were born, and what the purpose of them was, and how why the designs are somewhat different. I want to tell you that for sure. At least two of the things. The history of the mask. I mean, that's somewhat academic, but it's interesting as well. But what I was trying to say is that this neutral mask is the character that you have to rediscover within yourself. And the process, come in, please. The process, were you here last night? Were you here last night? Good, okay, so I'm just reviewing a little bit. The process is cathartic. It's traumatic, it's wrenching, but it's ultimately releasing and calming. Now, what happens is that because you are in a vulnerable state, you are stripped of your armor. In essence, you are naked, right? Your true innocent self is exposed, must be exposed. And that, as we know, is very difficult. Because we are sophisticated, mischievous, grotesque kind of character. So that, because as adults we have to behave under a certain amount of rules that society prevails upon us, and therefore we lose that sense of abandon. So the state of abandon, vulnerability, the state of being open and large, you know, that wonderful sketch of Da Vinci's with the figure with the wide arms and in the circle. That state takes time to rediscover. That's why it's a private and personal journey for each one of the participants, the ones that choose to put the mask on. So the minute they step into the room and decide to study this, they say, oh my God, this is going to be very, very difficult. And it is. But the commitment to it is what we're after. Without commitment, I've seen people completely crumble underneath this mask, refuse to reveal anything about themselves, and they, in a sense, they don't reach that plateau. And therefore, doesn't mean that they fail, it means that they will remain fixed as that, as this fixed type forever. You see what I'm saying? So the process is done as a group experience in terms of the mask is put on, is worn, is carried, and in the French verb to carry and to wear is the same thing. Porter, right? To porter, to uphold, to support, to carry, but you also we wear. Je porte mes vêtements, I wear my clothes. So you wear the mask, you carry the mask. So you can't, because of that, you can't trick us into seeing, into pretending to be vulnerable or pretending to be abandoned. And that's where the parallel, I mean, I don't know what all your fields are, but I know you're interested in the whole process. The parallel is extraordinarily exact. You can't fool the therapist. You can't fool the one who's just saying, you must find who you are. You can't fool them. A good therapist. Right? You can't. So what happens? Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. He found some toys. Great. I walked out without a bag of toys that I missed. Excellent. That was quick, too. Great. Thank you so much. I had a big bag of and I, my new puppy, everything's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? So, because the experience is done in front of people, it's extra difficult to reveal that vulnerability in front of strangers. Now, at the very beginning. So gradually, the process evolves and you gain the confidence to reveal some privacy about yourself. Because you can't fool me and you can't fool the mask. And all I do as a teacher with the mask is be a videotape recorder to the performer. In other words, I will just analyze and say, you know, this moment here, or I will describe what they did. I will never ridicule or make fun of it. It's got to be a supportive atmosphere because it's so I'm in front of all these people. So gradually, that's why I said ironically, it's about a 9-month process. It really is. And all the years I've been doing this for, God, since 25, 30 years. And that gestation period happens about 9 months. It's really interesting. So it's the rebirth. And you can't shortcut it. You cannot shortcut it. You cannot fool us into saying, okay, this is what he means. Ah. So you go up and it's not what I mean. It's your self-discovery. It's your root. And that's what's so wonderful about it. So you kind of, you're guiding, you know, as the term is midwifing, you know, right? You just kind of, okay, over here. And then gradually, now you're on your own. I can never force the person to say, you must do it this way. Of course, in order to teach it properly, one must have discovered that for oneself. And in the classic traditional sense, how I learned it, it was either, no, that's wrong. This is from Jacques Lecoq, a great teacher in Paris, who's still teaching now when I went over to study there. He was the pedagogy of the French, the master, and that's it. No familiarity, no analysis other than, no, c'est pas ça. No, it's not that. Oh, what are you doing? And then somebody else would go and say, no, c'est pas ça. Oh, he did something different. It's not that either. Well, what is it? And then you start to find it. It was really quite interesting. I came back as a young man from Paris and said to the students, I said, no, that's not it. They went, well, what is it? I was about 23. I was 20, no, about 25 or 26. Lecoq was, of course, older, and he had more or less, he didn't even develop it, but he really brought it into the modern training of actors. And it was only after all that I realized, having gone through counseling myself, I'm like, God, exactly what I've been doing for 25 years, right? And I wasn't doing it to myself. But I would never claim myself to be, you know, a psychologist in that sense. But what I did do with these students was exactly what psychologists do on a one-on-one. Now, back to the, because I never knew who these people were, other than how they behaved in my classes. They were anonymous. And eventually, after 2 years or 3 years of working with them on an intensive program, I got to know a little bit about them. So-and-so was a Catholic, and she grew up in Manitoba. So-and-so was a you know, was you know, had this kind of broken family. You hear all this stuff. And I have a theory, you are your game. You know, and it might be the name of my book if I ever do one. You are your game. If you can't, no matter what you do, you will do that how you are. You'll see when we get out and do some games. All those patterns, all those choices are fixed by your prism that I talked about. And the game, of course, is, or the root is ultimately to eliminate that character and find this one here. Now, back to the process. Because you do it in front of other people, each try, each essay of the mask teaches the other people. And that is crucial, that's critical. I could never do this with one person. I have to have a group because if there's 15 people in the group, which is usually about the size that I work with, because everybody's on their own private journey, the experience that they have is evolving in a different way than each the other, right? So I'm watching that person. I'm trying to guide that person through it. But in so doing, I say, okay, now, you remember when she or he did this and the shoulders suddenly drop? You know, and that's when the image that this person was doing, and the image being the imaginary world that the person is involved in, inevitably, that image was the most precise to the viewer and to the participant. And that was the moment when we truly lost the person that we know. And it's really very scary and very marvelous, right? If that person that is fixed suddenly disappears for maybe a moment, and then the next time, you remember that? Your concentration was really clear then, the image of the rock, and when you went over and you looked at that rock, you really saw that rock, didn't you? Yes, I saw that rock. Or I'll play another guy. I'll say, okay, what was the clearest image in the scene? And I'll like, the rock. Oh, the rock was great. I'll say, and then inevitably they go, I saw that rock. I really had that moment. And then that's the moment of truth, a very brief moment of truth. And that's when the mask suddenly saw. See, because the mask sees. The way my puppy sees, the way every animal sees, the way we don't see. So when you put the mask on, you have got to see. You've got to be in complete harmony with looking out to the world around you. Now that's hard because that requires an innocence and a vulnerability. You know, there's an actress playing a part in the show coming up. And the character is, you know, it's in the 30s kind of comedy. It's, you know, like Adelaide in Guys and Dolls, you know, the so-called dumb blonde, right? Awful term, you know, we hate it, but you know, it's of an era where that those characters, those stereotypes were there. And she was playing the scene, and I said, you know, after I saw it, and I'm not directing the piece, but I said, you know, you're on the wrong track. She said, why? I said, you're playing her stupid. And she's not stupid. She's innocent. The actress who's very bright, who's playing Portia right now, she said, God, that's right. I said, the big difference between stupidity and innocence. She believes everything they're telling her. That doesn't make her stupid. It makes her vulnerable. Now you've got to find that. And always, of all the masks I have, the ones that are the innocent and the naive. Remember last night, the one, the little round face, little orange one with the round eyes. Very hard to play. Very, very hard to play. The emotion mask, you know, that we can connect to immediately, but that state of is very, very hard. So that's why this process gets you to that state. So each time that that the participant arrives at a moment of truth, then we seize upon that, and then they feel they gain confidence. See? So the next time they put on the mask, because the first time you put on the mask, it's just, it's awful. So, I mean, these kind of workshops will be very, well, try it. You know, you're mature, you're not trying to be performers, but you, we'll see what happens, you know, that kind of thing. It'll be quite interesting, and you'll see, because we don't know each other, except some of you know each other. Then that confidence is carried further, and the next time they put the mask on, they say, all right, I remember that state that I had that time, or not that you try to recreate what you did before. It's a whole new day. It's a whole new ballgame. It's a whole new... You've got to play that moment now, how you feel today. And then there may be another moment that is, and it's a little bit longer. And then, of course, through time, through the careful programming of, there's a curriculum and a sequence, and I'm sure as therapists, you have to do a certain thing at a certain time, and you got to keep that back from your, how many are psychologists here? Oh yeah, that's good. So, I'm sure you have an agenda, right? You've got to have an agenda. I mean, I don't know, I haven't studied formally, but you've got to have it. And you've got to just kind of guide that person through the agenda when they're ready for that particular. But at the same time, one of the problems is that I got to keep moving. And because I'm doing it in a class situation, you've got to be able to arrive at this particular state within the 9-month period. And if not, I still have to go on. When I mean by go on, I go on to the expressive master. So assuming that you have, so either I've done my job or I haven't done my job. Now part of my job is your job. You do the work, right? You know that. The person, and that's when trying to come back, and oh God, it's so hard, I can't go on. You can get there. Or don't go on. Yes. And then I go on, it's the first year, right. And initially what I used to do was start right off the bat with an neutral mask. And that's the way Lecoq did it, and it just, that didn't work. And I've seen these people come back, Lecoq, who's the master teacher, who developed this, started in the 40s, came out of an earlier school in Paris, by Jacques Copeau, another great teacher. I tried to start off right from the beginning, from the training period, when I knew I was going to be working 3 years with the people. That's the general curriculum. My curriculum is a 3-year process. To arrive at those Comedia masks takes 3 years of intense work, daily. You just cannot put them on and do them. They're most difficult because they're speaking, they are fixed archetypes, so I initially said, all right, let's start off the way I learned it. But I was, and people fall by the wayside. They say, what the fuck are you talking about? I can't do that, it's too hard. And they get more restricted and more fixed and more tense. So I said, this is not working. Now, whether it was my maturity or my youthfulness at the time, and whether or not I couldn't instill the trust at the beginning, but I knew it was wrong. I said, as the baton was handed to me by Lecoq, I had to carry it on in a different way. So I said, well, I've got to do something that's going to prepare them to put the mask on for the first time. So I revised my curriculum, or the curriculum that I learned, and started to kind of talk about the mask and do all the exercises, the physical exercises, the breathing, the yoga, the all those things that are wonderfully helpful in centering. And this is before meditation and things like that. Question? Right. Right. That's right. So in a sense, I had to find my own way of doing it. Is that what you're saying? Yes, that's very good. That's very good, because one of the best compliment I ever had from Lecoq was when somebody who went over there and said, after a year, I'd been away for a year, and somebody said, well, is Zaslav qualified to teach Lecoq? He said, no, he's now teaching Zaslav. And that was a compliment, and that was a, you know, that was a, he never gives compliments. He never gives, you know, he never gives you anything. I brought him my theory for change, and that's the French, I told him my theory for change, and he said, the M-O-R-E, I said, I've synthesized something. Think of this. And it kind of did come to me in a half waking thing, and I wrote it down with my left hand, and I said, and I was half asleep one morning, and then I woke up, and I said, what is this formula here? I said, oh yeah, that's right, I was thinking about that. So I told him about it, and he said, because he's the master, and when the disciple starts to you know, the whole Freud Jungian business, right? So he said, to challenge the original ideas, he said, and you have to know the French temperament, and of course he's 20 years older than me, and he's still working, and I'd come back to America, and I was the second disciple of his that came back to America. The first one was a wild Italian who was the same age. He taught me the Canadian stuff. So I was the son of these two kind of the wild Italian and the precise intellectual French. And these are cliches, but they're true. I mean, come on, they're true. There's another archetype that are there. You know, the temperament. Think of the. So I said to Lacan, I said, well, look at this formula. And I had to say it in French, because he's married 40 years to an English-speaking woman, Scotch, and he doesn't speak any English. Right? She's got, he married. Yeah, he will not, you know, you've been to France, he will not learn English. It's great. So I had to, you know, so my French is still good. So I told him, I said, I have a formula for change. And I said, well, this was really good. And I said, M-O-R-E, and then, of course, movement, objective, relationship, and energy, which are the same in French, right? And he just stopped for a moment. He said, and he said in French, pour moi, ça manque un chose. For me, they lacked one thing. Un lettre. I said, what? He said, I, E, pour erreur. C'est tout. And that's what he said. And he didn't want to talk about it. I said, but wait. I said, error is included. He said, nope. He said, tu veux discuter de philosophe avec moi? C'est tout. He said, he didn't want to talk about it. Because his nose was a little bit out of joint. And it was great. And I knew I had something. And he said, he said it lacks error. You don't have error included in accident or chance, which is part of the whole thing. And he didn't want to discuss it. And I eventually later discussed it with a wonderful philosopher up in Vancouver, and we talked about it for a long time. He said, error is built into the four elements, because error can occur, but that's part of the energy in the relationship. So to include it, it screws up the acronym as well, so I don't want to put another E in there. So it was interesting. So that's the French process. So I couldn't start right away and put this on the people from the beginning. And then I achieved more success as a teacher. Quicker, deeper, and more significant. And again, as a psychologist, that's what you're trying to do. And ultimately, it heals. You see, that's what's quite wonderful. If you continue, you can't slack off, right? Now, each person that participates, again, that presents something to the class, to the group, and then that journey is evolving at a different pace, at a different rate. And then sometimes somebody will just clap. 5 minutes of complete support of the math, and the internal state is true and honest. And we're just, you get blown away. It's powerful. It's mesmerizing. You feel a kind of, as you watch it, you feel a kind of euphoria from the person who was, and they take the mask off. And they just kind of, they don't say, was that it? No, they know. See? And it's nothing that they can do intellectually. It's non-psychological. And here I am, in a group of people who are aware of psychology. It's non-psychological. Now, what does that mean? It's like my puppy is non-psychological. The child is not yet psychological. It is a creature that is fixed because of what it inherited, but it has not yet formed that the monster state of dealing with of fear and thought. You see, the neutral mask is a mask of action and of doing. And every time in this whole French idea is that whenever we do improvisation or clowning or the mask, it's too psychological. If it's not working, Lecoq, you say, trop psychologique. And nobody knew what he meant. Then I had a clue. I think I know what he means. Too psychological. Trop psychologique. That's why I do the doctor in French, because it's so pedantic. Right. Yes. Yes. Right. 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 That. Oh yeah, expands. Yeah, it really expands. Right. That's right. And that, see, that's why the participant is the better teacher than I am. See, I'm just the I. Right. Exactly. Exactly. I can't say it's this way. You must do this. I can't say that. Then it becomes intellectual and analytical and academic, and then the process is not discovered from the self. See? Right. But it's also, when I say it's not psychological, this character, in its truest sense, is free of psychology. It doesn't know psychology yet. This guy knows psychology. You know, I forgot to bring this last night. It was one of my favorite. It was sitting on another shelf. Right? Great mask. Mischief. Malevolence. Right. That's something else. That's not what I'm talking about. That's something else. That's, you know, that. In a sense, this mask is not, the neutral is not emotional in that sense. He's not capable of he is before all that. Now, the fact that it's an adult makes it more the more difficult, the more interesting. The adult, the child in the adult's form. The innocent, or what I call the primitive, in the adult form. Do you know the book? There's a book called The Face Finder, and it's been an old book. And when I was working with a sculptor to get me the mask that I wanted, we came across this book. It was in Russian. It's a Russian anthropologist who was a sculptor who was able to do the forensic investigation based on skulls. You know how they will build up a face based on the skull from the underside out. And in that way, he was able to identify bodies that had been decomposed and missing people. And then he would do it without knowing who, if it was his person, he would do the face, and then they have a picture. They bring a picture of the child or of the adult, and you see the sculpted face, and you see the photo of the deceased person, and wow, is it close. He did the faces of primitive man from the skull, prehistoric, you know, Cro-Magnon, the whole thing. And there were photographs of those sculptors, and I said, "That's the character that I'm looking for," to my sculptor when I was developing this mask, because I didn't want to use Lecoq's theory, because it was very cold and very impassive, and I wanted something more active. And I said that, and the character was like this: these big, the big skull and deep-set eyes, and it's just out of the ape state, and it's just somewhere between, you know, what, Homo sapien, and the whole, I mean, I don't have the terms in my head, but it's somewhere between those, the really, really primitive and sophisticated man, thinking man. It was not, but he was like that. Taken. I said, that's what the neutral mask is all about. You see, he doesn't know anything. Yes, here's some questions. He's in a state of enlightenment, right? He's in a state of he's elsewhere. Huh? He's not innocent at all. I mean, we should be fun to look at that. That's where I with my experience, I can read, you know, faces very quickly and make pretty accurate judgments as to who people are. I mean, if I'm fooled, it's because the counter mask is working all the time. You know what I mean? The opposite, and people really, that's not who that person is at all. I don't know how they look like, but we have to be true to ourselves. You know. That's a problem. I appreciate that question. That's a real problem. Because when I came back again from Europe, it's not... He says the word neutral connotes impassive, lack of... gray, energyless, and it's a real problem. And that was the first problem I encountered. And they said, what do you mean by neutral? Neutral? But so people put that mask and they don't do anything. I say, no, you don't understand what I mean. You know, I said, well, you said neutral. You know, you put it in neutral, right? You don't go anywhere. It's a terrible word. It's a terrible word in English. But, yeah, right. They tell me I have to neuter my dog eventually. You know, pet control, animal control. So that means he can't do something that he is made to do. And now, the problem I appreciate. Now, what I ended up doing, and, you know, I'm not a linguist in that sense, but somehow in French, neutre doesn't have the same connotation. It's still there. I mean, all I can do is perceive it. I mean, the way it's always used in French. And that's why this school has evolved out of a French concept. It's more active than our word neutral. That's all I can say. So I eventually started to call it, people dubbed it the wonder mask for me, and I didn't like that. I call it a mask of awe. And that's why I dropped the jaw, and in the one that I used, the brown one I used yesterday, was fabricated in Italy. And it's based on a design, in some early design. But the mouth is closed, and I prefer the mouth open. But I think awe is a better state.
It's like a total potential that is committed to the mind, right?
That's right. You hear that? Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's right. Right, 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 right. Now, the neutral, you say, when you say it is the self, you're in a sense, it's your former self. What you are now, right, right, right. Right, right, right. And that's what we've gotten away from, right? That's right, that's right. And so all this psychology that we carry around with us gets in the way. And that's when I say it's not psychological. There, that's what... Okay, okay. That's right. And to go back to that state is the journey. You return, and then you come back. And you've been there. And you say, well, I mean, so you feel... I know what that is, and you can recreate that. Now, there's a quality, and we'll exercise in a minute. There's a quality, what they call in French, spectacular, presentational, theatrical, about the process. So what it does is when you put the mask on, because you have something on your face, when I demonstrated, I can't... It's ugly. It's going against the mask. So because you know you have the mask on, you have to act a certain way. And in order to act a certain way, you have to find that truthful state within your own person to make the mask, the actual fabricated mask, see and come alive. Right? And because of that, you are performing. So we go out the door after having that mask on. You don't go out and say, I'm going to now walk like a neutral mask. No, no. The state is found under the pressure of the moment, of that heightened moment. And then that state is expanded for later creative processes. So when I say to the people, I said, you go out the door, I don't give a damn if your shoulders come back up again. I mean, that's the key thing is your shoulders are just, I said, I don't care. I don't care if you continue to walk like this. But under the mask, you can't. It is forbidden, because he doesn't. So they make the adjustment under the mask. So in a sense, the mask helps you see yourself. So it becomes the third eye. Now, if you manipulate yourself, and the way that's not true, you act in a way that is exterior, demonstrative, intellectual, thought out, the mask will not be alive. And when I know every mask, so when I put them on, you see me change, right? You see the mask change. Imagine. Because I'm changing inside. I have to give the intro. But at the same time, I'm presenting it to you in a very theatrical way. Expressive, yeah. Right. Yes, that's right. That's right, that's great. That's great. So I was touching those. You were coming out to me, and behaving with that character, feeling that character, and were experiencing the change that I was going through, or the character was going through. You're not right. Which I? It's out there, focused inward. Yes, yes, yes. Right, right, right. It's like I know exactly what I look like. Now I'm demonstrating. Now when I was improvising with the emotion mask, I wasn't demonstrating that much. But each time, partly I'm demonstrating, but notice that I didn't relate, when I put the mask on, I didn't relate to you particularly. I always put myself in an imaginary world. Right? Only once, I think, I glared at you as something when this came off. Right? And that was disconcerting, wasn't it? Because I suddenly broke the fourth wall. Because the minute you put the mask on, you are in an imaginary state. You understand? It's not, I'm no longer in this room. Although with this guy, I just did. I just kind of looked you over and showed you. Because he's so outward. So let me, now say that again. With the neutral mask on? Okay. I brought you in. You're right. Whose neutrality are you talking about? Mine or yours? Right, right, right. So those are what you're talking about are the moments when I'm the most true, when the character was the most honest. Not me, but the character I was portraying was the most believable. So, yes. That's right. Because I am doing two things in this lecture demonstration last night. I'm presenting you the information at the same time I'm acting an imaginary situation. So sometimes I'm showing you a little more than I would ordinarily. I wouldn't want a student to do that at all. So that's right. So there were moments when you that's sensitive of you to feel that. The moments that I was most involved as the character, those are the moments that you were probably drawn into. Right. Now, well, you said something interesting there in terms of the teacher, and if I can bring this around to keep, I don't want to emphasize the theater as much as I need, would like to, because this is where I'm treading into new territory. That's why I wanted to do this lecture on this series. Is that you touched on something interesting because I, the teacher, director, coach, have experienced the full state of calm and neutrality for myself. I have been there. I have been up the mountain, right? When the student, participant, hits that moment, I feel it here. I respond. It's a gut reaction. It's not an intellectual reaction. So when I sit and watch, I become that person doing that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm out there, I'm feeling, I mean, as a director, I have to do that. I have to feel everything the actors are feeling. And if I'm open and full and not distorting what's going on, I can read very, very clearly, very accurately what's going on without distortion, truth. So when that person hits the moment, I feel the breath, And I'm still with them. And then when they don't eat the moment, I kind of go, oh, I feel awful. The bells are not going. The bells are going off. The buzzers are going off. But when they're in the harmony, there's no buzzers going off. There's no bells going off. No warning signals. Off track type of stuff. And it's that state that I can say, okay, when it's over with, I say, okay, now let me think. I have to come back to reality again and say, here's what happened. and those moments, and inevitably the person, the people listening will say, oh yeah, I felt something then. Ah, is that what I feel? Or is what I feel the neutral state that he's talking about in relationship to the person participating? Then they have a recognizable feeling, and so when they have it, it'll ring true, because your neutrality is different than his neutrality, because you're a totally different organism, right? So as the reader of the situation, I, the coach, not the therapist, acting training is dangerously close to therapy. I mean, somebody asked me last night, well, is this psychodrama? I said, no, it's not psychodrama at all. Not at all. That's the role-playing that you guys have to do and acting out stuff to find out. No, this is not psychodrama at all. So, you understand what I'm saying? That then I'm touched by their purity, their honesty. And when that patient or that it suddenly says, ah. Speech changes, voice changes. Now, it's not the only method of arriving at this now. I have to balance it with free play. Because you put somebody into an improvisation where they are their game and they're fixed and they're full of anger or they're full of fears, they're full of all those basic things that we just can't get rid of, and they stop the improvisations and they destroy the situation and they put up blocks, and I say, that's the other side. No, I blow the whistle. I'm the referee. I want the referee for this. And I go, I say, you can't do that now. Because you didn't yield to that person's choice. And if you had yielded, the situation would have been organic and moved into another direction, and we would have had more change. See? So the relationship, the energy is too strong. People fight right off the bat. They get angry. First improv, angry. And I say, okay. No, yeah. Everything is angry. And I say, okay, now you are not allowed to get angry. They think when they're angry, they're feeling something. Anger is not allowed. And this is over the door. And they start another improv, a game or something, and they start to get angry. They go, stop! You got angry. You resisted, you used tension and violence to play that situation, and it's not there. They say, yab it. I say, no, yab it's about it. Anger is not allowed. It's a rule of the game. So I say, sit down. Let's have somebody else try. He doesn't like me. Oh, boy. That's happening to people. They think I don't like them. I've got nothing to do with it. Right? And then they get scared of me. And I say, oh, my God, I like this stuff. I'm friendly. I'm happy. Now I'm happy. I'm happy enough, you know. So when they think, then they get scared. Again, I say, nothing. Let somebody else try no anger. I say, oh, that's good. That worked. Didn't it work? They say, yeah, it was either funny, it was creative, it was a good idea, it was fulfilling, and the situation was interesting, the change was good, was flexible and imaginative. And we say, okay, that was wonderful. So then I look over to the guy who got angry, and he's kind of like, oh, I see. So it's not a question of, he's not judging that person. And the next time he goes, he resists the anger. And he's forced to find something else to do. And this is hypothetical, but it's true. The next time he goes, when that moment comes up, he says, I'm saying an angry. I'm going to be humiliated and I have to sit down. So he goes and does something else. And then he comes up with a good idea. You see? And and then, of course, you're creating an ensemble. This is part of the process. This is an individual thing that eventually goes to ensemble stuff. And then on the other third leg is, of that triangle I talked about yesterday, is little physical exercises to develop your natural coordination. I once said, you know, all natural ingredients. Finally, is it, you know, I thought it's 6%, but, you know, I said, nothing you will do here will be unnatural. The four-legged walk, you saw me go from the crawl, the whole little evolution thing. Well, you know, you try that. People cannot be. But they have to learn to be coordinated in a natural sense. Mm-hmm. Second year is the expressive, the full, what I call the full grotesque, where with a whole array of the rubber ones that I had, little round-faced guys, I'll bring those up. We'll take a break and we'll pull them out again and we can look at that stuff. Maybe the morning when we'll come on out of this, but this afternoon we'll... Third year, I mean, there are many aspects of this whole training program. The third year, in terms of the mask work, becomes the half mask. Because the first stages are all nonverbal. Did you realize that everything I was doing except for was nonverbal? Huh? It's all nonverbal. And that's, again, because when you put the mask on, you are not allowed to talk. You can't talk under the mask. No sound at all. Now, there are masks in society, in the primitive societies, and we'll look at those, that they do speak under the mask. The Kyogen and the Japanese No and the Balinese, they are full masks, but they speak through them and under them. That's the only, the half mask or the demi mask of the Italian Commedia is designed for speaking. So I then, advancement motion, primarily with spoken word. I mean, that's, and we have gestures that accompany the word. You know, we have a tremendous amount of nonverbal communication with the physical. As psychologists, you know that. You know, body language, you know, you read body language all the time. Well, I read body rhythms and body structures to find out who the character is. You know, I joke, keep making the answer, and this guy is going right back into here. You know, what is the Sistine Chapel? What is it? Right? You know, that's who's that? It's Adam. God, get out of here. Shame on you, huh? It's a natural gesture. It's not normal. Early, at the very beginning. Yes, it's primarily yes. I mean, it's always there because that's the X-ray machine. When you can do that nice fluid move, it means that the armor has been lifted, and then you can put on any quick or fixed posture you want to put on. I mean, what I used to say, what if we're playing Richard III, right? You know, Richard III, Shakespeare, Richard III, and we all have Olivier's image as fixed in our minds. You know, and nowadays modern productions, they're changing him quite radically. But so Olivier played him like this, right? Shriveled hand here, short leg over here, pump on this side, right? So what if I, as the director, say, okay, I need a guy to play Richard III, and the guy says, oh, and somebody who has a malady like this naturally comes into audition, but they come in like this. And I say, no, I need a guy whose right side is all twisted up. Sorry, it's a joke about the cutting off the pant leg, right? And so he's got to go away, or he's got to put on the neutral mask and go from this to this to this. See what I mean? That's the, I haven't used that in my time, but that's the process. That's what it is. They're all like this. They're all Quasimodos. Yes. Oh, very good. In the first year, it's cumulative. All the work is necessary because people in other classes are doing, text work and voice work, and so it's all. I'd say maybe 25%. We don't kick them out. I mean, if we can help it, we want them to do it. But this, of course, is the most significant work. All my colleagues, the professors, their noses are really out of joint because this, they know that this is what's really bringing this actor through the process truly, because it's working on them in no other way. So the dropout rate. People don't succeed, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to be wonderful actors. They can still achieve a kind of creativity based on their own tremendously thick character. That character, see, the thing is that your character is quite wonderful and quite marvelous. It's the process of being in harmony with it. Because through this route, you then come back and say, you know who you are better. It doesn't mean that you walk around forever in a neutral state. That's deadly. Yeah. Right.
But the man in the neutral place can go to him or to the fool.
That's right, yeah. I often lay the neutral down on the floor and put a circle in fact, let's do that as an illustration. Let me just grab some stuff here. And it'll help you understand it more. For a simple illustration, and again, it's just reiterating the Richard III story. If this guy walks in to the room and has to become this guy, his root is there and then there. You see? Pardon? No. The prism is he has his own prism. He has his own posture. He has his own rhythm. He has his own internal spirit, internal soul, and he has his own mask. The mask is a character. Is one of the elements of the character, which is my other theory of prism. Now, in order for him to portray this guy, he must first find his neutral state. See, he must then find that neutral state within him. Then when he comes out of it, he disappears, and that character, then he can do any, he can go to any one of the characters. And that's the wonderful thing that I said, is that when, because when I started, I said it was too early and people were shocked and resistant to the pedagogy. Then after maybe 2 months of preparation before the mask is put on, I get to know the person a little bit, see what their habits are, not their history, but their habits and their behavior and how they function. Then when they put it on, when I see the neutral state evolve, you literally see the other person disappear. It's quite extraordinary. You don't know who's under the mask. If I didn't know what that person was wearing when they came in that day, I wouldn't know who that was. And that's what happened. And when we, by the end of that 9-month period, when everybody ideally has hit that state, and found their neutrality. Then I'll do some group improvisations, and we put on, you know, five people up there in a situation where they're all masked under the neutral mask. I don't know who anybody is. I can recognize his knees or her boobs or whatever, but that's about how I can recognize. You know, some characteristic that is recognizable. Other than that, I don't know who they are. And that's marvelous, yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. It's that simple, right? Is there any diesel or anything over there? Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. For so many hours, right? You put on the neutral mask to get rid of your mask. To be able to put... Pardon? No, the neutral has to come first. Now, certainly, if I were to put on... See, the point is, I made that yesterday. If this guy you saw yesterday, right? And somebody asked me, said, what are you doing with your face underneath the mask? Well, think logically. What? I've got to put on the face of the mask. That's right. I have to know who the character is. So you learn the characters. I mean, there isn't a mask that I couldn't pick up immediately right now and say, okay, I think I know something about that guy, and I'll put him on. See, and I can do that. But the student or the participant who doesn't know the mask will play something else, and the mask will be wrong, will not be supported. So what I have to do is find out what is the prism. Posture, I have to take the posture, right, of this guy, which is not my posture. I don't stand like this. Right? My rhythm, the rhythm is this guy is... It's got a rhythm like this. That's not my rhythm. The internal spirit, this guy's vulgar, he's tough, he's complete, you know, he's powerful. And therefore the mask is a result of all that stuff, right? I've got to grimace. That's what I'm about to do, right? Right. So the guy that I did yesterday, you know, the effete. Yeah, this guy here. Right, remember him. And now I'm doing it in kind of, look, I'm just doing myself, right? So the mask doesn't come alive. Proud. 20 pounds lighter. Right? Very arrogant. I really do feel thinner. Right? Oh, yeah. In my imagination, yeah. I can imagine myself 20 pounds lighter, but I can't get there. I like to cook and eat too much. But this guy, no. Now, let me do something. A question, I just, what?
I was
going to
ask,
can
you describe how deep the feeling is, where your body is, your template, your
right in here. What is the chakra? The whole chakra stuff in here? It's right here. Right in here. And this guy, I feel it in my throat. Because the energy of the mask, and I'll show you some more, the composition of the mask is reflected in the composition of the body. You see? And where the energies push. And you know, this little mischievous guy, look at the energies of this mask. And the smile pushes the eyes closed. And they're in harmony with the hairline. So you see how the energy, I say, oh, this energy pushes up the cheeks. So the cheeks are constant. So that kind of, this also makes me feel that way in my body. So your posture and your rhythm are in harmony with... He's very impish and he's very magical. This guy is puckish and so I have to have that kind of stuff in my body. The tension in the shoulders, yes, I can suddenly put tension in my shoulders. Now, but that's what you could, someone said, could you do, now let's say, I'll take that feeling of the arrogant and try to play this guy that way. Doesn't quite work, does it? It's still expressive because he's pretending to be something that he's not. Right. Now this guy over here, just for fun now, this is part of the stuff. If I had an extra hour yesterday, I would have done this. What do you see in this mask? Let's just give me some. Can you see him? Light is nice. Okay, let's just hear some qualities. Somebody want to write? Somebody write there. Who's got pencil? Write these down for me. So I don't forget them. He's wearisome. What do you project into this guy? He's pained. He's pained and he's sad. He's old, tired, cynicism, he's cynical, resigned, right. Yeah. Looks like a stroke victim, huh? Put it down. Pardon? He's confused. Okay, is that enough? I mean, those are all air, right? That's nine things. Anything else you see? He's lost?
Embarrassed.
Okay, that's good. It's a hell of a lot of stuff to carry around with you, right? And that's just a few. If we could just go on. Okay, now read me off those things again. See if I can get character and I'll see if I can get those things in there. See if I can get them all.
Wearisome, pain, sad, old, tired, cynical, resigned, so difficult, lost, and
dead. Got them all in? So those are all there, weren't they? Those put in kind of into an old folks home, didn't they? Did you see him in it? I felt he was in a bit of a, you know. So those are all there. So sometimes I have to demonstrate them. Sometimes I have to. I try to show a little bit of the counter mask as well, of showing what he was or what he aspires to be. When he started to get got a little chipper with the friend over across the hall, across the way there, you know. So he's got a bit of the Pantalone in him, who's the old spry kind of guy. Excuse me. They're wonderful, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. Well, this is I have a good collection of masks. So when there are masks and there are masks.
Well, that would also be something that, because normally when you're going to be, when all of the person you don't find anymore.
Oh, yeah, right. Right. That's probably me. No, I don't mean me. But that's probably what I try to bring the humor and the vulnerability of the characters to show them who they really are. So there's a bit of the clown in me, but that's what I want the people, that's what you call the grotesque, the element of the grotesque, the comic tragic. And that double-sided thing is foreign to our culture. Is not acceptable in our culture. Not understood in our culture.
Well, imagine if it's so hungry.
Yes, it's very big.
And it's almost like if everyone was too hungry and just whatever their mask was, it would be wonderful.
That's right. That's very good. That's wonderful. That's very astute. That's very good. Because ultimately, the student with the mask finds that quality in themselves that is going to fit that particular character, and that brings out that quality. And this is why I say it's foreign to our culture. We don't understand this. This is what in our culture allows us to touch that kind of humor, and it doesn't exist. It's poignant. It's Laurel and Hardy. It's back to those kind of archetypes, and we don't have it in the society. It's in the Balinese. You know what they have? There are no actors in Bali, right? They are everybody. They go to the community center and they put on the masks, and they sing and they dance and they do puppets and they tell stories, and then they put them away and they go back to work the next day. It's all part of their culture. I just learned that. Ah, boy, this is... Why don't we see it? In our culture?
Yeah.
It's such a mishmash here that there's no purity to our culture. It's so confused. I mean, these are general things, but there's nothing in our... We have a kind of tradition of circus in that sense, but we don't have... I mean, theater must provide us with that. The arts must provide us with that. But the arts is something that is not for the common people.
In France,
in the French culture, not in modern society. In the Western world, no. I would say in the Western world, no. That's right. There are characters. There's mass theater, which I didn't get to. But in what you call the total theater element, you have Brecht, and we have the Marx Brothers. We have vaudeville. We have the so-called new vaudeville. We have people like Bill Irwin and those two magicians. Yeah, I haven't seen those other guys yet. But the two magicians were here. You have a kind of vaudeville in the theater sense, but we don't have it in our culture. You know, we have it in the caricaturist, but when you think of the Eastern traditions, and we have it in the Native American culture and the Mexican culture. Oh, well, that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's where it's at. No, that's not the neutral mask. No, those are totally expressive characters, And they are fixed characters. They have created. They are the actor who has created a role, and had built a mask and built a prism out of their imagination and through the collaboration with the director and the playwright. But what you're experiencing is they're trying to touch you, and your understanding of the human behavior. Not neutral at all. Well, if you come in a neutral state, I mean, then you will appreciate more. How do you go? You read critics see the same performance. The same thing. They're obviously projecting something of themselves and not seeing clearly. A good critic is an oxymoron, right? That's a thing. Yes, more questions. And the wonderful actors are real, and then they lift that character into something that is higher, and it's truthful, right? But the actor that uses only himself and only himself, in a sense, is cheating, is lazy and inflexible and not willing to change. And I don't want those kind of actors. Now, this technique is designed to train the person to be as flexible as possible. Look how many characters I've seen. I can do it if the actor is willing. And those are the best actors, the ones that change the most. Or whatever, you're trying to get that person to change that fixed behavior that they are doomed to play out forever.
And that is the end of the tape. Copyright CGUing Society, Seattle, and the speaker. All rights reserved. No copying, please.